Last week, we heard how Rod and Tony Schutze had turned down Rod's brother, Lothar, when he asked them to leave the trap line to take over his store at Poplar River. They now focused on the preparations for the arrival of a second child. Tony recalled in her memoirs, Rod assured Tony, if she wished, he would see that she was in Barron's River before the baby was due to be born. On the other hand, if she wished to remain with him on the trap line, he would be sure to be with her for the birth and would deliver the child himself. She considered her options carefully and decided she would stay with him. She trusted Rod. He had proven himself so very capable in so many ways. She was sure he could deliver babies with the best of them. The time was coming for Rod's regular trip to the line cabin to check on his other traps. But Tony was uneasy. She asked Rod to delay his departure for a few days, and he agreed. Later that night, Tony went into labor, and Rod delivered his second son, Ray, 2 months prematurely. The birth went well, and as soon as Tony could care for herself and the children, Rod made a quick trip to his other trap line. Ray was a tiny child, so small that Rod could cup his head on his fingertips and Ray's heels rested just below his wrist. The baby's first bed was a shoebox lined with cotton batting. His clothing so tiny it was made from snatches of material taken from other clothing items. In an effort to help the baby feed, Tony first used a teaspoon to feed him canned milk. Later, Rod fashioned a small spout on a can, and Tony tipped a little warm milk onto the baby's lips. Ray learned to drink this way. When they returned to the settlement at Poplar River in May, Rod and Tony stopped to see Lothar and Gusti and to pick up the money from the sale of their furs. Lothar told them he had invested the money into trade goods for the post and would soon be leaving for Little Grand Rapids, his first posting with the United Church. They were shocked at Lothar's actions. Rod did not want to be a trader. He loved the bush, and Tony was prepared to share it with him. But their money was spent. To recover it, they would have to take over the post. Reluctantly and angrily, Rod and Tony agreed, and they settled into a life of more routine, dealing with additional people. You can see that this version of the story provides a different perspective on the tale told by Luther in his memoirs. They were concerned about Ray and sailed on the Kenora to Winnipeg to have a doctor examine the child. The first doctor angrily lectured them on the consequences of bearing and raising children in remote areas. They consulted another doctor who counseled them on how to help Ray gain weight and thrive and prescribed medicines and procedures to that end. The child needed lots of sun and fresh air. At the doctor's urging, Tony found a sheltered corner of their yard where the sun shone but the wind did not blow, and here on warm days Ray napped, clad only in a bonnet, his tiny body absorbing the warmth and nurturing rays of the sun. The treatment, and daily doses of cod liver oil, plus a diet recommended by the doctor, all added to the baby's weight gain, improved health, and added strength. Rod needed another freight canoe, and when the Icelandic fishermen arrived from Point South for their summer fishing, he purchased a boat from them. It was an old one and had many leaks. Rod spent his free time patching holes, sealing joints, filling cracks. Many times he floated the old boat only to find new leaks. Back to the beach and more repairs. Finally, one day he happily told Tony the boat was all sealed up and ready for use. It needs a name. Do you have any suggestions? Recalling newspaper advertisements she had seen, Tony responded, Call it ivory because it floats, referring to ivory soap. When Tony saw the boat, the name was on the prow, Ivory of Poplar River. This series has been cut by the CBC, but I want to thank Eileen Wojtowicz, Tony's daughter, who's allowed me to share with you the family's tribute to Tony and Rod Schutze. This is Judith Hudson Beatty in Winnipeg.